Welcome to the podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time, a Castsource family production. In this episode, we discuss youth development in baseball, social media for kids, and running a multifaceted business. Our guest today is Steve McGuigan. Steve is an owner and director of baseball operations for Minnesota Mash Baseball Club. In 2017, Steve was given one of the highest honors in youth sports when being named a Minnesota Chapter Coach of the Year by the Positive Coaching Alliance. This award was given to only 150 youth coaches throughout the country. Steve is involved in all aspects of Mash, including all baseball activities as well as athlete performance. You will hear Steve and I discuss these five topics: youth development in baseball, social media, running a multifaceted business, the future of baseball, and the importance of practice. And then get ready for a wave of rapid-fire questions. All right, let's bring Steve into the game. Steve, welcome to the Entrepreneur Perspectives Podcast. It's great to have you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, so we want to get going right away. So tell us, how did MASH come to be?
Wow, this is going to be good. This is going to be very reflective for me. So in 2012, I was actually playing in the Frontier League, which is like an independent league baseball. I was kind of lost in life, honestly. I identified myself as a baseball player. And so I was kind of grasping at straws to continue to play baseball, and went out there and kind of knew that this might not work out like I want it to. And while I was out there, I got a call from my cousin asking me about a guy named Tom Buschke, who is now the co-owner. We co-own MASH together. And he said, "What do you know about this guy for lessons?" And I called him because we went to the same high school together. I asked him what he was doing, and I jokingly said, "Hey, you know, I might be back in about 2 weeks because I'm not feeling too good with my swing." Continue to go 0-for-14 in the rest of my career there. They released me. I drove back and we met, and he said, "You want to do this thing?" And we literally just started it with like 20 12-year-old kids that were from the town that we kind of grew up in, and ran them through practices and controlled scrimmages. And that turned into something just really big and huge that we all love to do every day now. So at MASH now, we have a 20,000 square foot facility just outside the Twin Cities. We have 9 full-time employees, and we work year-round coaching baseball. We have an 8,000 foot strength room, and just a very cool community of people looking to get better.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
No, I'm saying that's kind of my elevating pitch on what MASH is. When you called me earlier, I told you I tend to ramble. I get really passionate about what we do because I love the people here and I love the people who work here as well.
Well, that's obvious, right? It comes out right away. And for you to be like in that position where you weren't happy with where your life was at and what you were doing and your game of baseball, let's say, and then you turn that around and, you know, the call comes kind of out of nowhere maybe and you give it a shot.
Yeah, it was definitely out of nowhere.
Yeah. And so then you have that out of nowhere conversation because you really don't know when things are going to like turn good or worse, right? It goes all different directions. But then you get out in the field, like when you're out there and you're running that controlled scrimmage and you're doing what you do and you're helping people out, did you like know at that moment you're like, "Oh my God, like this is exactly what I need to be doing. I'm having so much fun."
100%. 100%. And that's something that, like, I know when you're playing, it's really hard to hear that. And obviously, if I go back and someone said, "Hey, you could play in the big leagues," I would 100% say yes. But when you start coaching, serving others and seeing that click moment and seeing them just be successful, you wake up every day and you're focused on others. You're not focused about, did I get a hit? You know, what do I need to do? When you're playing, it's just internally such a selfish mentality, where when you're coaching, it is a serving mentality. And I've seen that has translated into the rest of my life. And so I'm living a much happier life thanks to that transition of really serving others. Has served me better than anything.
That's amazing. You know, it's interesting because I always say, like, if you're having a bad day, go help somebody else. Like, even if it's the person in your office next to you or if it's a family member, right? But I think there's just such a big part of that. Like, when I had kids, when I realized, like, I couldn't focus on myself anymore, I had to focus on my kids. And then all of a sudden, it, like, takes all your stresses away. Yeah, there's new stresses, don't get me wrong. Like, now their problems become your problems. So I would imagine, like, when you have a player show up and you're like, man, I can't hit the ball anymore. I can't do this. I can't do anything. That becomes your problem now. So it's like, it is good, but now you have everybody else's problems on your hand, right? Is that like something you deal with?
Yeah, all the time. You know, and the other thing is not just that, it's beyond baseball. You know, I mean, the way that we set everything up is these guys are able to come in, you know, 6-7 hours at a time if they want to. You know, they can stay around, they can jump in an open cage, and when you're around kids that much, I mean, our coaches, I love our coaches because they work basically 24/7. They're so accessible to kids that we get reached out to a lot just about girlfriend issues or, you know, issues at home or stuff that they're looking to do or advice on what should I do after college, you know, that continuing relationship after kids leave the club from high school and come back. It's a 24/7 job. And I know that I talked to you about that earlier with social media, is that everyone's portrayed as having a perfect life. And that's very hard for young kids to understand and deal with. So that's another thing that we have passionately tried to help our kids with.
That's huge. I mean, you're becoming their counselor almost in a way. And like you said, I mean, there's life outside of baseball, and it all impacts, right? Because if you talk about alignment in your life, all of these things relate to one another. So, I mean, it's huge that you're able to help them. We were just having a conversation with a sports counselor, right? And he helps people with their mental health aspect. He's a former athlete himself, but now he's handling the mental health aspects. And he coaches actually soccer. He coaches a high school soccer team in Chicago. And he's talking about that. So, no, we completely understand the importance of not just doing it from a, you know, proper fundamentals in your baseball swing or throwing, you know, motion and all that kind of stuff. So it's everything that goes with it. So that's pretty amazing. So what does the player development process look like with, you know, when a player comes to MASH, and what's your favorite part about watching these young athletes learn and grow?
That's a great question. Kids come in and usually we take them just through an evaluation, which will just be, hey, you know, what do you do? What's your swing like? Let's take you through some ground balls, some pitching, and then we'll sit down with them and the family and just kind of suggest, hey, based on what your schedule is, with you playing multiple sports, here's what we would do. So our schedule is really flexible, designed for kids to play, you know, up here, hockey, wrestling, and even basketball in the winter is huge, which is when we're doing our off-season training. So our schedule is set up for them to come in from 2:45 to 10 throughout the week, and then pretty much 9 to 5 on weekends, and able to work around their schedule so they can come in around those teams to continue to play multiple sports. And we'll say, hey, based on the fact that you have hockey, I think you should only be in 5 times a month. If it's a kid who says, hey, I don't play any other sports, 12 times a month, I think that your throwing mechanics are the number one thing that you can work on. Let's get you in a pitching program. So everyone's a little bit different. And then we also offer free assessments for all of our athletes to go through with our strength and conditioning staff. That's just kind of key. There's some things that you can focus on when you're here or your high school strength to continue to improve. And that just allows for people to be flexible in their schedule, especially with kids. Like, if they're not prepared to come in every day, or if they don't want to be here every day, the longevity of that relationship is not going to go well. If you force the kid to come in 12 times a month, he's going to be here for a year instead of a kid who, hey, you know what, maybe 5 is the right number for you. Maybe he's here and we develop a relationship over 8 to 10 years. You know, so every kid needs to be sat down with their parents, explained our culture and what we believe in, and then that allows for them to make a smart decision on the right amount of time to be involved in that culture.
Right. So it's no different than you having a passion for what you do and showing up every day. You know, that someone might not love it as much, but they have to have some sort of passion to want to show up there on a daily basis, or they're not going to fit
what you're trying to accomplish, which I think is great because, you know, we can't be all things to all people. But if you're saying, hey, if you fit these things and you want to accomplish the, you know, then we become the place for you. And you're being upfront and honest with that, with not only the players, but the parents, if they're involved with it as well. Right. So, I mean, it's a total team effort, if you will.
Well, yeah. And from like, from the relationship side, it's great. And then from like a business side, like people aren't used to that. People aren't used to you just being like, hey, I'm not going to tell you, you tell me, you know, what's your schedule like? What are you looking at? You know, what do you want to accomplish over the next 2 years? Having them tell you and then say, okay, that sounds perfect. You know, people are allowed to cancel memberships in here and say, hey, you know, I'm going to move on. I'm going into this part of my season. I want to move down in membership. Our strength coaches, when they meet with kids, all our strength programs are individualized. And I know that that's another word like entrepreneurship, but they truly are individualized by our strength staff. They're incredible. And they say, hey, if I'm going to do this, you tell me how often you're going to be in here. Our kids have the opportunity if they want to use the gym 7 days a week. But from a programming standpoint, if you think two times a week is good for you, let's do two. And let's be incredible at going two times a week. Let's eliminate our 2 days. And that attitude and that mindset and just being realistic with guys instead of saying, you know, you have to be here five times a week, even though you're on National Honor Society, you got the ACT coming up, you got two sisters, you want to go to their games, you play another sport, and you have to be here five times a week. It's just unrealistic. So allowing them to be successful has made it a great place to be because you know that every time they're coming in, they're dialed in and they're ready to go.
Yeah, so when you see the development, so now you've developed the player, you've seen some growth, whether it's they've become a great player, you just certain attributes are starting to show, and you can see it's as a result of the work that you and your staff are doing. What is that like for you? I mean, as we can already tell, like how excited you are about like being in this business and what you do on a daily basis. But when you see it, like the light go on, is that like the best moment ever for you?
It is. It is. I mean, they say all the time if you're gonna choose something to do for a living, you know, don't be chasing the gold. If you're doing something to chase the gold or the money, it's not going to work out for you. You know, at the end of the day, if you ask anybody about why they're successful in the field they're doing, they're going to talk about their job, you know, what they do, helping a kid, seeing him grow, having them sign at a college, having them call you to say, hey, this is, you know, the opportunity I've gotten at the next level. That's what makes it go. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all on the bus, so we got to enjoy the things that we're doing and yeah. The time that we're spending with people. And when kids especially are able to come out of their comfort zone and develop a relationship with all of our coaches, it is literally what keeps us coming back to stare at a computer and answer emails. Because, you know, eventually you're going to go get to do the fun stuff.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's part of it. So you're running a business and you are the entrepreneur with your partner and everyone there. And there's work you have to do. It's not all sunshine and rainbows, right? There's actual like things you got to get down and dirty with and invoicing and who knows what else you have to do on a daily basis there. But it's all for the, let's say, the greater good. It's all for so you can help that player out so you can go and get back to doing, like you call it, the fun stuff and working on a sport that you just are so passionate about, and that I'm assuming that keeps you going just like it keeps us going, right? Like the little things are just part of the process, and if you find the fun in it and find, you know, the process enjoyable, then that's the amazing thing. I was just listening to a podcast actually with Kobe Bryant was being interviewed by Cal Fussman, and Cal Fussman does these incredible interviews, and he's talking to Kobe, and you know, Kobe's like all-time great basketball player, right? But what he's talking about is you have to enjoy the process of it. If you don't enjoy the process, you're going to end up hating it at some point, which is you've kind of been...
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, what you've been saying.
Yeah, you'll get eaten alive. I mean, no matter, you know, how good of a product you have or how much you care, it's just not possible that everybody's going to be happy with what you're doing. There's just no way. So understanding that, treating those people well, answering their questions and just saying that this is part of it. You know, it's not going to be all glitz and glamour. And I think for us this year, you know, starting a business, the first 6 years was all about, okay, what do we do? You know, how does this work? I mean, I was a communications major. I was a true college athlete. I got a communications major, and I thought I was going to play in the big leagues. So when I got out of school, it was like, all right, what do I do now? I guess I'll coach baseball, and I know that. We didn't know how to run a business. So this year, we've spent a lot of time just on giving people specific roles and making sure that all of us understand exactly what we're supposed to do. Goal setting has become a huge part of what we're doing. We joke all the time that we're starting to become an actual business instead of a bunch of guys just running around hoping things are going to work out well.
Yeah.
Which has been good. You know, it's the stress levels have gone down. Our efficiency has gone up. I think understanding our roles as a unit, that's been the cool part for me now in the transition is you have 9 people on staff. Like those are, everyone who's here has decided, you know what, I'm going to choose this to do for a living. They're full-time coaches. This is how they put food on the table. And it's easy when it's just one or two guys going, hey, let's try to start this up and you're 23. And now I'm 29 years old. These guys are, you know, 23. Our head strength coach is 33. And he listens to this. If I'm wrong on that, he's going to kill me. But, you know, we're starting to get to that point now where we got to know what we're doing.
Yeah.
It can't just be all about fun. So that transition as a human and an adult has been a fun experience for me.
Yeah, and all you're doing is you're getting better. You're putting a team together, and you're getting better every day, just a little bit every day, right? And then you refine what you've done. And that's all anybody's doing. I mean, I don't care if it's a startup company to a company that's been in business for many years. They're all trying to figure out a way to be better. Apple's trying to make a better iPhone, right? They're one of the largest companies in the world, and they're still trying to get better. You're building the business from the ground up, and you're refining it and changing and learning as you go. And that's the fun part about it. That's why we love talking to entrepreneurs, because they just have this energy about them. And if they didn't, they wouldn't be an entrepreneur. So it's like, and we've discussed this offline too, is anyone can call themselves an entrepreneur. Anyone can call themselves a fitness trainer. Anyone can call themselves a, you know, certain businesses you do need licenses in, but you know, there's so much of that going around. So it waters down it. And everyone's like, yeah, so I heard that every day. That this person does this and this person does that. You kind of have to overcome it. No different than like, hey, I know how to coach baseball. I've done this before. I can train your kid where, you know, they've seen it before. I mean, I've had kids who played baseball and I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. So 2/3 of it's not good. How do you overcome that when someone shows up and be like, man, I've heard this story before. I've seen people like you before. How do they know it's different?
I always tell them and I say, hey, this is how we do things here. We know what we do. And I think that people really respect a genuine answer. You know, this is the example I'll use. And I told you I tend to ramble sometimes. I'm sorry about that. But as part of our hitters program, we told the guys that they just need to sign in when they work out. The goal is to get 24. The minimum was to have 24 workouts, which would be 3 times a week at this time in the program. And I said, print it off, look at it. And our kids work very hard. I love them to death. But not one of them got to 24 signings. Now, I'm sure some of them were at 35, 40 workouts, but not one of them got to 24 signings. I say, you guys, if one of you would have done the bare minimum of what you were agreed to do, you would have stood out amongst your peers. And so when people come in and they say, what do you guys do? I just say, we are who we are. Like, ask the people who have been a part of our club. Talk to them, because I can tell you whatever about how great we are, how awesome our staff is, our new facility. But at the end of the day, the word of mouth is going to be the number one way that you can tell. So I refer new people to say, call our clients, stay in here for a couple hours, feel the energy in here, talk to the people walking around, ask them, because it's like being on a recruiting visit for baseball. I could go on a recruiting visit for baseball and they're going to say, hey, this area here is pretty crappy. I don't know. This area can improve. They're going to show you the best highlights. So ask the players of the team, hey, what's this really like? What's the coach like? How does this work? What's the life like on campus? Your members are the number one priority, because they're going to be the ones who are going to get people in the door.
Yeah. No, and you're using a proof of concept, right? Referrals, recommendations of any sort. You know, people have done it and it's proof of concept. And we do it in our business, and I recommend any business do it. You know, it's hard at the beginning because you don't have a lot of proof of concept, right? You need to get somebody to buy in, and you know those people are gold because, you know, they're the ones that gave you your first opportunity, and you always remember that. But then once you start building up on those people and those clients and those relationships that you have, now other people get to see, you did it for that person, now come do it. Now I want you to do that for me. And all of a sudden it just grows, which is what I'm seeing that's going on with your business, right? You had the proof of concept. You have the recommendations. You have the people that are your cheerleaders. They'll be like, yeah, you need to go to MASH because there's this incredible team of people that are going to help you out in more ways than just in baseball, which gets into like...
Well, and that's the key.
That's the key.
You know, that's the key is that they're saying, hey, you know, you can go play anywhere. There's plenty of people around our area. There's clubs all over the place that do a great job of coaching baseball. They do. They know what they're doing. They do a great job. I think that our thing is the relationship that your kid's going to have with the coaching staff and what he's going to be doing in school, how he's going to be treating others, you know, being willing to sit down with kids when they're struggling on stuff because it's not all perfect. That is what I know all of us are most proud of that we do. And I think that that's the number one reason why people come. You know, it's not that hard to flip a baseball forward. You know, that's what I do 7 hours a day. So I feel comfortable saying that, you know, anyone can flip a baseball forward. It's what kind of relationship are you developing with a very impressionable kid, you know, ages 18 to 6 years old with our rookie kids. You know, how do you develop a relationship with that kid so that it's above baseball? That's our mission.
Well, and so you're doing it from you have like a multifaceted approach, and at CADSource we do the same thing. So we love seeing that, but they all align together, which is the best, right? And we try to do the same thing. So you have the baseball side of things, and then you have the performance side of things. So how do those go hand in hand, or how do you manage that on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, our strength staff is incredible. So we have 3 full-time strength coaches. Our head strength coach, Nate Stemper, has been a guy that when he started, you know, he's been through the ringer. He went to, you know, Lifetime. He's been at LA. He's been at small gyms. He's been at performance gyms. And he worked with Tom at a place a couple years before Tom started MASH. And Nate was looking for something new, and he started basically working for free at the age of 29. He basically just said, this is something that I want to do. I'm passionate about what I do. I know I'm good at it. And he started up in a mezzanine space in our old facility where he couldn't drop weights. You shouldn't really do anything. He wasn't set up to have success. Let's put it that way. And when you walk into the new MASH, what he and the staff, Kyle Comer and Jay Schmitz, have built in the front area, it's like our main focus now. You know, it's 8,000 square feet. And he had done that through his relationships with all sports. So that's what makes our community really special is we have our hashtag is MASH Nation because all sports are involved here, female athletes, male athletes, soccer, lacrosse, football, it doesn't matter. And you see these kids from all these schools in the area get into one place, and that's what makes it electric is it's not just baseball. It's a full community in there, and that's what the gym has provided. The tempo in there needs to be great. You know, you got all state track athletes. So there's world-renowned ice climbers that work out in our gym. And so it's fun to be in the cage and walk outside and see someone absolutely dominating the strength room. It's just, it's a very good balance between the two things and has definitely given us just an added element. You know, in BC, especially in Minnesota, in the winter, your facility is full. But once it gets nice out, people are going to take advantage of that for as long as the sun is out. You know, I'm outside right now, but this is the first time I've seen the sun in probably a month and a half.
Yeah.
You know, it's gloomy here. It's cold. But when the kids go back outside, that's when the strength staff steps up and becomes, you know, the number one part of our business. Taking kids through summer speed camps. We've been very fortunate to work with NIAC baseball programming for them, one of the best junior college baseball programs in the country. And then also work with, you know, Hill Murray Hockey, which is a state power here. So they do it all. It's very fun to watch them grow from basically having kettlebells and a couple sleds to a very fun gym. It's very impressive to walk in and look at.
Yeah, and you used a key word in all that. You said community, and you know we're big on that as well. I mean, that's where we are right now as a society. Is like you have to create conversation, and if you can open up a room, an environment to multiple different athletes and types of kids from all over the area, and where they can start communicating with one another, it becomes pretty awesome what you can do. You get new ideas in there. You encourage quality, you know, healthy competition and all that. And then it goes into the whole other world because you're dealing with youth, and you've mentioned this earlier on when it comes to social media. And we love talking about social media, and there's a lot of good that comes from social media. There's a lot of not so good that comes from it as well. And you talked about how you help these kids dealing with social media every day, because they're coming in there and they're having to compete maybe with friends and, you know, that look like they're having the best day ever, when in reality maybe they're not, but that's the perception that they're putting on. So you're having to deal with that as well. So tell us, and what's really cool about this even further, I'll take this one step, is on our Sportspreneur platform, you're actually going to be doing a guest post. So this is a little bit of a sneak preview to that guest post, but if you don't mind, you know, give us that. Yeah,
you know, it started social media when we were looking at it, was our only way of marketing, really. You know, I mean, when you're starting up, you don't have a budget. And so if you have a free way to market, that's great. And then that transitioned into following all the kids that are a part of our club. And our social media education started with the stupid things that they put on their social media. So retweeting dumb things, you know, posting dumb things, posting incredibly personal things that they shouldn't be, and educating our kids on, here's what you should be posting. You know, this is all work. Let's stay away from this stuff. That's really where it started. And then our staff, like you said, we have a lot of conversations with kids. And with recruiting, you know, it happens earlier and earlier. You see some kids signing as, you know, freshmen, or in hockey, you know, as seventh or eighth graders. And so people always feel behind the eight ball now. Everyone's in a big rush. Everyone thinks that they're behind. And educating our kids on, one, playing youth athletics and high school sports is a special time. Once you leave that, things change. Stop chasing just being a collegiate athlete. That's not the end all. That's not the final, you know, countdown. That's not the only thing that matters. Enjoy your time here. And then secondly, being active on social media. So we encourage all our kids to be active on social media. What we mean about that is, if you're looking through stuff, comment on stuff. You know, don't just sit there and look and compare your life to other kids' life, because you don't really know what's going on. You don't know what they're doing. You don't know how they're feeling. But if you use social media as an actual tool to connect with others, comment, be positive, see things you like, let other people know, it can be a positive thing for kids, and not just kids, me. I mean, I know I need to run our Minnesota Mouse baseball. Coach Dave, our strength coach, and we're on it all the time. So I see it. I feel it all the time of going, oh, wow, look at this person. Look what they're doing. And we've made a real push around here to have kids be just more positive and, more importantly, more active when they're on social media. Don't just scroll through there and compare. Use it as a platform to talk to others and learn from others.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And you're a practitioner of that, right? Because you're out there and you're doing what you're telling these kids to do. And you're watching them and you're helping them along. You're not like lecturing probably a little bit, but you know, overall, like you're just trying to make it better for them, because like you said, if you say the wrong thing, that could haunt you for a long time. And don't let that, and that, who knows what that snowballs into, right? So you really have to stay on top of it. And I think that's pretty amazing that you take it to that level of like an organization. Like, this is what a Major League Baseball team would do, or organization would do, to make sure that their players are following certain guidelines, or at least understandings of the way they are expected to behave. And they have to fit in that. You know, we talk about it in our business all the time. And John Priori, who's there, like, we talk about the culture, the energy that someone brings on a daily basis to what we are doing here. And if it's social media, that's all a part of it, because that's what someone sees. And if you're draining that energy from the building, I mean, that's the worst thing that you can have in your club, in your organization, or on an actual team, right? I mean, because this is the stuff they're going to have to do if they do end up making it somewhere, or if they end up not playing baseball, but they become a business person, or they become an entrepreneur that leads a company. You're giving them lessons, it seems like to me, that they can use in any aspect of their life.
Very, very well said. And I'm glad that that's how it came off, because that's the goal. I mean, there's two realities for these guys, is that one, social media is a thing. You know, you can't just say get off your phone. I mean, it's part of our lives now. It just is. It's a thing. And two, your baseball career is going to end. You know, your football career is going to end. Your track and field career is going to end. It will end at some point. And making them be successful, you know, we have a kid who started his own business at age 19 selling clothes. I think that's the coolest thing ever. Seeing these guys now that we're 6 years in and we're starting to get older, you see these guys grow up, and that's where you really start to understand if you're doing a good job or not with the kids. You know, when you're around them, it's obviously a lot easier. You know, they're impressionable. You can speak to them face to face. But after they leave and they, you know, they leave the nest and they go out to school, what are they like? What are their college coaches saying about them? How do they contribute to their culture? Our first ever graduating class is going to be done this year. So our first graduating class is seniors this year, because our first year of MASH, we didn't have a senior class. And I'm very interested to see how many of those kids come back and want to coach. You know, we've had a couple who have already come back and started coaching for us. So it's time for us to see how strong our culture really is, and the impression that our coaches truly made on these kids, to see if they want to give back to the community.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I mean, this is, you're building these long-term relationships, and then, you know, one day their kids will be joining your group and your program. So that's, and what you're doing as well is you are saying how important practice is, you know. So it's funny that, I have three kids and they've all played sports, and, you know, I've seen, like I mentioned before, I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to youth sports. And a lot of times though, I'll see that they're playing too many games versus practice. And I never understood it. I'm like, well, we just played three games and we had one practice in between. And if you're playing baseball, for example, how many at-bats are you actually going to get in that game? Three, four, maybe five if your team's killing it. But more than less likely, you're sitting in the dugout most of the time. And if you're playing the field, I mean, how many balls actually got hit to you, depending on what position you're playing, depending if the other team can even hit? Are you the pitcher? So it's like, I was like, shouldn't we be spending more time practicing versus playing? You know, with my son playing soccer, I'm seeing them develop that because they're kind of catching up to other countries in soccer. So they have to practice. So I'm seeing like three practices to one game. That makes a lot more sense to me. How do you get it across to kids and parents to say, wait a second, practice is where we're going to get better. Games is we're going to, you know, you tell me. I mean, I'm saying this. Is that right? Is that how what you guys believe in? It seems to be. You know, tell me more about that.
Yeah, that's a very passionate thing for us. I think we're on the 50-50 spectrum. You know, we talk all the time. You can practice as many times as you want, but until you get in the game and you're actually playing the game and you're getting those instincts, and kids today really have baseball instincts. They need to be better at that. They need to understand the game a lot better. So great coaches are going to be able to take a team in a game and use that as a, you know, learning tool, a practicing tool, for situations, for how you carry yourself in the field, for dealing with failure. That's really a great time to practice that. And then outside of that, you're looking at, you know, what am I doing to hit? What am I doing to take ground balls? And so having like a 50-50 approach for us on, you know, if we play 20 games, we're probably going to want to be having about 20 problems. We're going to want to combine those two to make a complete player.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's kind of how we look at it. And, you know, there's obviously times that doesn't work out. As some teams, you know, they travel a lot. It's like a 2-month sprint to go play in tournaments. You know, obviously that's not an ideal setting to get those practices in. But in the fall, that's really our opportunity where we say, okay, we want to kind of have the same amount of practices to games, whether that's individual practice or team practice. They both have their place to developing that guy. And you want to play games. I mean, you're practicing to compete,
yep.
You know, and being in that competitive mindset and
yep.
getting out there and competing against other people. And that's what football. When you play football, you know, you practice against the same guys all the time. You get let loose against somebody else.
Yeah.
And it was really a competitor. So
yeah,
finding that competitive edge too is an important part of developing.
No, it's good. And that's a good balance that you're explaining there. And, you know, the other thing I think is cool is there's a lot of warm-up, right? There's a lot of warm-up in baseball. And so the 30 minutes or hour or whatever it is before the game is you can still get some work in. Maybe it's more repetition, right? But that makes a lot of sense of what you're saying. Just getting out there, getting on the fields, getting in wherever you can. You know, you're probably telling kids, just play. Have fun. Enjoy the game and let it take you where it can take you. But you have to work hard at it. So with that being said, we just had a podcast with Dean Jackson. He was part of the Arizona Diamondbacks organization, and he got injured, and he's doing a lot of analytics work for his college, and he's learning a lot about the game. And we watch baseball, and we see it in there's a lot of conversation out there. Analytics are becoming big. The speed of play is becoming big. It's like a power pitching game versus home run hitting, right? Where do you see baseball going in the next, you know, decade or so from here?
Yeah, I mean, the information right now is incredible. You know, I was lucky enough to go to the coaches convention in Indianapolis that's held every year, where you have just speakers and coaches from all over the country and go to talk about it. It's kind of like, I like to look at baseball kind of like a book. If someone spends their whole life living something, my buddy Harvey says this all the time, it's, you know, someone lives their whole life and writes a book about it and they were incredibly successful and you can read that in 2 hours, you're an idiot if you're not reading it. You know what I mean? You're an idiot if you're not going to take that information. So with that, with analytics, you have to know what's going on. You have to say, okay, I'm going to research and look at this. You know, I'm going to look at exit velocity. What's rep through? What's hit man? What's hit tracks? There's so many different opportunities for people to learn and grow that I think if you're not willing to jump on board and at least understand it, you're probably going to get left behind in regards to baseball developing. It's always developing. You know, I think you can have an old school mentality in regards to how your kids play the game. But if you say, I'm just an old school coach, this is how you do things, you really just stop learning. You know, there's always opportunity to learn in this game. And I think it's incredible what people are doing. I just sit there sometimes and go, man, these guys are all in and all in on learning about a swing and learning about this stuff, learning how to speed up the game. I'm a huge fan of speeding the game up. I hope that happens moving forward to keep up with kids. You know, the information is so accessible that if we don't speed up the game, it's going to get left behind. So I'm a fan of the moving forward. I think it's great. I think that coaches just need to understand how to take all of that information and implement it. Don't just put kids on it and have them start, you know, ripping dingers off the hit tracks and not making them understand any part of the game.
Right.
You know, you got to use that balance with that information.
No, and I would agree with that. And I think there's just disruption in business all over the place. And baseball just happens to be one place where there is disruption, not for everybody, but for the people that, like you said, don't want to progress with it. And, you know, you got to see that, you got to find the positive in it and use that information. I think that analogy you use with the book. And if you wouldn't read that book, you know, what are you doing? Because the information's out there. So might as well use it. So I think that's a great way to look at analytics. And sometimes you need that simplistic slap across the face to just like wake you up. You're like, you know what, man, that is the way to look at it. And I like that. So I think the people who are in it, because the guy I mentioned before, Dean Jackson, he had an easy way of explaining analytics too. And it's just the same thing. It's just like, just see it for what the good that's in there. And it can help you out. And then marry the two. You know, it's like using the old school tactics with the new methods that exist. That's all we're doing. It's still like social media. All it is building a relationship and having a conversation. You just get to do it with people like we're having right now. You're in Minnesota. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we can have a conversation like this because we met on Instagram of all places. And it's like we're not having the conversation in Instagram for the rest of our lives. We've taken it to a different level. And so I think that's what's really cool about it. So I
love it.
Yeah.
You're using the platform.
That's it.
You know, you're using the platform and you can connect with all these people. And, you know, the other podcast that I do on the Mindstrong Project is, that's what it is. It's just connecting with people and trying to learn and just hear what these successful people are doing. And that's why, you know, the second that you said, hey, you want to come on here? I said, absolutely. You know, it's an opportunity for me to learn and talk about what he's doing and what he's doing. And that's how you want to use social media, is connect and learn and branch out your network.
That's right. That's absolutely it. Well, what I like is, I mean, you just have this passion for what you do, baseball, your business, and everything around it. You know, even like the nuances of helping a kid with social media. So we get excited about that. And that's why like I mentioned before, we love talking to entrepreneurs, but those like yourself that have this hunger and the constant thirst to like learn more, I think that's pretty awesome. So I appreciate you sharing those perspectives. This podcast is brought to you by CASCM. CASCM helps you, the entrepreneur, engage with your audience like never before. Most entrepreneurs need help developing business, so that's what we do, business development. We offer you the same techniques that have worked for us. We start with content marketing, which includes storytelling, knowledge sharing, thought leadership, and branding through blogs, podcasts, videos, social media, and personal engagement. This leads to opportunities and relationships for you and your business. What else do you get? A content platform asset that will serve you now and in the future as your industry changes. Why do we do this? Because at CASCM, we love helping entrepreneurs build stuff. What we like to do now is move into the rapid fire round, where we just kind of like, you know, throw a bunch of pitches at you, see what you can hit, just answer it how best you can. No right or wrong answers
let's
here.
Let's do it.
Yeah, all right, man, let's go. So
I'm a Family Feud guy.
That's right. Good show. So who is, in your opinion, the best player in baseball right now?
Got to go Mike Trout. Guy's an absolute stud.
Yeah. What is, I'm sure you've done some traveling in your day with baseball and all other things. What is your favorite city to travel to?
We went out to just Seattle, Washington. We were out in Seattle. Incredible area. Never been anywhere like that. If you get a chance to go, go.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy to see the combination between the water and the city just touching each other.
Yeah.
Had a blast out there.
Yeah. No, we love traveling, so we definitely have to check it out. So maybe it's on the plane ride out to Seattle, but just when you have some downtime, what is your favorite thing to do to kill time?
Oh, boy. In the winter, not going to lie, big movie guy, big movie watcher. In the summer, I'm going to give my go at golf this year.
Yeah.
That's my new challenge for myself.
Wait.
I'm trying to go from a guy who only gets invited on Saturdays to a guy who gets the Tuesday call.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
It's one or the other, right? Doesn't your golf swing mess up your baseball swing or vice versa? I can't remember which one it is. Or maybe it's both. Maybe they're not good for each other.
Well, as I said earlier, I went 0-for-14 in my independent league debut, so I should just started playing golf a lot earlier.
Yeah, that's right. See, we love that. I love the humble attitude. It's the best. All right, so if you weren't working at MASH, what career would you be in?
All three. My mom's a teacher. My two sisters are a teacher. And then we got one outlier who's incredibly smart that works in the medical field. So if I wouldn't be in the medical field, so I'd be a teacher.
Okay, excellent. So we talked about social media. If you had to pick one today, I know it changed. It could have been something different. It's going to be something different in the future. But what is your one favorite social media app today?
Instagram.
Yeah.
I would say it's not close.
Okay. I think that's a popular one for sure. If you had the choice of reading a book, paperback, or hardcover versus using a Kindle or a Kindle app, what would you choose?
Book guy.
Book. Okay.
Absolutely a book
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
So now reading again, or reading or listening, if you could read a blog or listen to a podcast, what would you do?
I'm going to listen to that podcast. I think you just see or you hear what people are really trying to say with the flexion of their voice. I just think you get a better idea of the message.
Yeah. So you walk into a restaurant, and the restaurant, they have a bar that you can sit at, or they have tables that you can sit at. You can only choose one. Which one were you going to choose to sit at?
Bar guy.
Yeah.
that's another
yeah. In Minnesota, Minneapolis has the Twin Cities have a lot of those. I've been there. I love the city. Incredible food town, by the way. And great people in that city. It is cold, but again, like I mentioned to you another time, I'm from Buffalo, New York, so I'm used to the cold. I do live in Charlotte, so maybe I'm not as used to it anymore. but it is a great city, and there are a lot of good bars and a very good sports town as well. I got to ask.
It's a great place to live.
Yeah. Well, let me ask this last question, then we bring up another point. But this is the ultimate question. If you could only root for one sports team as a fan, what team would that be?
Minnesota Vikings.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but growing up, you know, you get older, you get a lot of stuff going on in your life, and you start going, you know, I probably shouldn't be invested in cheering for grown men that I don't know. But for whatever reason, with the Vikings, I just, every time I watch them, I feel like I'm dead.
Yeah.
Watch them again. So yeah. Pretty devastating to watch them this year in the NFC Championship.
Yeah, but the week before, like, I was, that was the thing I was going to ask before, is you're watching that game, and Stefon Diggs, like, the game's over, right? I mean, you had to think this is over, and then that happens.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, I like having people over to, you know, I live with three other guys, so it's a house of four, and we have 35 people in the basement watching the game together, so I wish I had my phone out. I try to not be on my phone when I'm with my friends. But if you could have seen the video in the basement, I bet it would be pretty hilarious.
Yeah, it'd be amazing. I mean, those moments, there were some videos that came out of Minnesota. You see, like, the reaction people had. I think they're at the Minnesota Wild game, and they had the video there and all these different places. But, I mean, we were watching it. I had been out for dinner, came back, had sort of seen it there, caught up on the game, watching it, and, like, you see it happen, and you'd, like, I almost asked, I think I asked my son was there and one of his, a couple of his friends. I'm like, wait, did that really just happen right there? That was crazy. Like, you just, I've seen, I'm a Bills fan, so I remember watching the Music City Miracle when the game was basically over. They kicked it off. All they had to do was tackle them, and they lose the game. And it's oh, man, it's the life of, like, a fan like that, like you said. So very cool, man. Very cool. Steve, everything, the passion, the energy, what you're doing, I think, is great. So we appreciate, like, you spending the time talking with us and sharing these insights. I definitely want to, you know, stay in touch more, but appreciate, you know, everything that you've brought to the table today. And thank you for spending the time talking with us.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. Thank you for reaching out to me. I think it's very cool what you guys are doing and the platform and how you're using it. And I would just say, for anyone who wants to, you know, talk not only just about business, but just about life or things that they're doing. You know, I found that talking to basketball, people who coach AAU basketball teams or do other things, has been really beneficial for us here. So anyone looking to network, I really appreciate that you've given me and our staff and MASH an opportunity to be a part of this.
Yeah.
So thank you.
What's the best place? Instagram is probably the best place to reach you and maybe direct message. What's the best account to go to for you?
Yep, if you go at Minnesota MASH, at MASH Performance, we have some very cool videos there. Or I think it's at Coach Steve. I'm not even sure. Steve McGuigan. Any of those will work. Reach out. Jake, who runs our MASH Performance handle, does an incredible job as well. So thank you for that, too.
Yeah.
Get those follows up. You know, let's go.
Yeah, what's that?
Help us get those followers.
Yeah,
up.
No, absolutely. And we're gonna put that in the show notes too. So you just click, send it. We'll send them right over to Instagram or whatever, right over to whatever different accounts that you guys have. So we'll make sure that anyone listening this far into the podcast has easy access to that. So, Steve, once again, thank you for your time, for your energy. It was great chatting with you.
I appreciate it. You guys have a good one. Keep doing great things.
You got it. Steve, it was absolutely awesome having you on this podcast. From the experience you bring in the sports world to your journey running a business, we're all better off for taking some time to learn from you. The perspectives from Steve on self-improvement and development are now perspectives you as a business owner and entrepreneur can use for yourself. And for that, Steve, thank you. And for any entrepreneur or individual with questions on all things baseball and training, feel free to reach out to Steve. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can contact me on Twitter at Eric_Kez or with the same name on Instagram. Or you can find us at KezSource.com with links to us on the different social networks. Thank you for listening to our KezSource podcast, Entrepreneur Perspectives, building and protecting your business one podcast at a time. Until next time, we're out of here. This podcast exists in large part because of KezCM, the content marketing business inside KezSource, Inc. KezCM is excited to bring the content marketing services used at KezSource to you. Learn more by visiting KezCM.com. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's a big deal to us. We hope you found value in it. And if you did, we would be incredibly grateful if you gave us a review on iTunes. Remember to subscribe to this podcast and feel free to share it with anyone you know. More than anything, thank you again for listening. We appreciate it.